not so many years ago, and I say it not so many years ago, probably 30 plus years ago now, my goodness gracious, I was working a third shift job. You know this story, some of you. Yeah. Working a third shift job and trying to pastor a church and go to seminary. And that was difficult, to say the least, at times. I was very busy a lot of the times. And working a third shift job, sometimes you come home a little cranky. You can understand that, right? Relate a little bit. But whenever I got home and opened my door, walked into my house, there was my dog. And my dog just looking at me, eyes as big as a baseball, wagging his tail, just wanting to love on me. And I was tired, cranky, and moody, and I'd go to bed for a while, sleep for a while, and then I'd wake up. Guess where my dog is? Right on my chest, wanting to love on me. My hair's a mess. I got bad breath. He don't care. He wants to roll around on it, just loving on me. I put my robe on, and I go down the end of the driveway to check the mail. Guess where my dog is? Right there next to me, wanting to jump on me, love me, not afraid to be seen with me. And the Lord spoke to me. He hit me right upside the head. Man, wouldn't it be great if we had a church like that? Wouldn't it be great if we had a church that just dogged you? A church that just loved you? Didn't matter what kind of mood you were in. Didn't even matter what kind of hairdress you had going on, or had bad breath, or what kind of clothes you were wearing. We were just going to dog you. Welcome to the doghouse. We just started dogging people in the church. And so every week we just start picking on people. We're just going to dog them. We're just going to dog them. It's not, and it doesn't matter what kind of mood you're in. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't even matter if you had bad breath, Kelly, because you're in the doghouse. Come on up here, girl. Come on. Come on. Don't make me come back there. Did you intentionally come late, thinking that we would be done with the doghouse already? You always come at this time. All right. How might the church family pray for you?
Well, I don't know. I'm all good.
I'm all good? Why do you call me good?
I don't need anything.
You don't need anything?
No.
How about your physical well-being?
That's tip-top.
Tip-top. We can keep praying that you have continued good health.
There you go.
How about some money? Show me the money. Need some money?
No, I'm good.
You're good? We can pray that God gives you great wisdom to be a good steward of your finances.
Yes, I'm not rich, but I'm good.
All right, very good. How about your spiritual well-being? Can you learn a little bit of something, maybe go a little deeper in your walk?
You always can.
Yeah, always can. See, what do you mean there's nothing?
Oh, okay.
There's all kinds of stuff we could pray for you.
Well, you know,
you're
what?
Go ahead. Yeah,
okay.
What? You know what? What?
I could use a good husband.
Sure, you get a lot of amens with that one. You're a good husband. All right.
Too many men with problems.
What's that?
Too many men with problems.
Too many men with problems. Okay, sure. Right. All right. Well, we can certainly pray for that if it's a desire of your heart. We just lay it out before the Lord, right?
There you go.
All right, let's pray for Kelly. Father, we just want to come before you. Thank you for our dear sister, Father. Just pray that you continue to work in her life. Father, continue to minister deep within her heart, Father, into the very depths of her soul. Father, that she recognizes that you are at work in her life, inspiring her and encouraging her and uplifting her. Father, pray that she has a good stewardship over her finances, Father. We pray for her physical well-being, Father, that she continues to walk in a way that is healthy and in a way, Father, that just continues to bring you glory. Father, deep-seated heart desire, I could use a good man. And so, Father, we'll lay out all things before you, for you know the desires of our heart. And so, Father, even in those desires, you can meet those desires. Prepare her as you might be preparing anyone else, Father, to come into her path. We come before you with thanksgiving, with praise, and with adoration for you and for our dear sister. May you continue to honor her and bless her in the name of your son. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. And you're a twin.
Yep.
You're a twin.
She got a good husband.
She got a good husband. All right. Thank you, congregation, for that. Hey, money, money, money! Money, 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 show me the money! Come on, give me some Benjamins, dinero, give me some bread. Who's got other words for money?
Moolah.
Ch- Cha-ching. Here we go.
Cash.
Cash, baby. Show me the cash. Give me some money.
Dough.
Yeah, some dough. Yeah, I need some dough. Need some dough. Oh, I like that. Greenbacks. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Show me. Show me. Show me. Federal Reserve. Right, right. Does money make you nice? Or does money make you mean? Does money make you generous? Does money make you patient? Money make you fat? Money make you thin? Money. Show me the money! Money is amoral. Neither good nor bad, right? Neither good nor bad. Neither fat nor thin. Neither kind nor mean. Money's just amoral. I do think this about money, though. With enough experience in dealing with people that have some. Money makes you more of what you already are. It'll make you more of what you already are. If you're generous, you'll continue to be generous. If you're mean, you'll just become more mean. Money doesn't make you anything. It reveals some things about you. Could you say that about your spouse? My spouse doesn't make me anything. But they do reveal some things about who I am. Kind, patient, generous, mean, bitter, resentful. It doesn't make me anything. Just reveals things about you. Kind of like money, just reveals what's going on within you. In our scripture today, we meet this rich man and his encounter with Jesus. But this lesson is about so much more than money. And this is the only time we ever really hear about this guy. The other gospels do give accounts of it. We don't know much about him or hear much about him after the encounter. We know that he's rich. We know that he's young. We know that he's a ruler because we bring the synoptic gospels together. Perhaps influential in his community or his synagogue. I can tell you this much about him. He's searching. He's still searching. What is he looking for? As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What a great question. What a great question. Here's your first one. It's acquaintance or relationship. Acquaintance or relationship. I have a pretty good relationship with money. It's kind of a long-distance relationship. Mostly it's me saying goodbye. I don't have an intimate relationship with money. It always leaves. And some folks focus on money rather than people because they never met a dollar bill they didn't like. This man in our passage, seems he has everything going for him, but he's still searching. He's got wealth, and he's still seeking and still searching. There's a void. He's got plenty of riches. He's even got prominence, but he's still searching. He's a ruler, but he's still got questions. He's probably got servants, but he's still searching. He can have pretty much anything in this world that he would want, but he's still searching. And what he's searching for is something out of this world. It seems that he has no problem with Jesus. Doesn't seem that he has any problem declaring Jesus as a good teacher, which would have upset a lot of religious leaders at the time, but he didn't seem to care whether he upset them or not. He was going right to the teacher, good teacher. He doesn't seem to care about anybody else's opinions. He's rich. He's young. He's a ruler. He's calling Jesus a good teacher. He's searching. He seems to have it all. This guy has a certain morality. Jesus lays out all this stuff. I've kept all these laws since I was a boy. This guy's got it going on. He's a perfect target market, by the way, for your church. Deep pockets. He's going to be a really good disciple. He looks good, he acts good, and he's moral. This guy has no problem falling down before Jesus, calling him a good teacher. Apparently, he would trust Jesus. He must have heard of him. Certainly has a lot of respect for him that he would do such a thing. He seems hungry. This man needed an answer to the burning question within his soul that his money didn't provide, that his prominence didn't provide. Good teacher and Jesus, almost prophetic. Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. Everyone around Jesus, even the rich man, the Pharisees, the crowd, even the disciples would have understood the way to eternal life would be following the commands of the law of Moses. From their point of view and everyone else's, this rich young ruler was blessed and bound for eternal life. Is that me going crazy? Sorry, Sam. Let's see if that helps. Everyone around Jesus, the rich man, the Pharisees, the crowd, the disciples, would have understood that the way to eternal life is following the commands. From his point of view, from everyone else's, he would have been blessed by God. Maybe even from your point of view, prominence, title, riches, even to have youth back. Certainly assured of eternal life. But he lacked one thing. He lacked one thing. He had a love for money. He had a love for money. He had a love for money more than he had for God. And Jesus loved him enough, talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, loved him enough to tell him so. I know you're doing all the right things, but your heart's not right. Wow. Wow. If you're looking for answers today, this morning, you've come to the right place. Jesus has the answers. I'm glad you're here today. Jesus can show you what you need. Jesus can show you what you lack. Jesus can show you everything that is needed to inherit eternal life. Are you willing to do it? Jesus can guide you into the path of eternal life. If you're searching for some answers, Jesus is here. If you're looking for some healing in your life, Jesus is here. If you came hungry this morning, Jesus is here. If you came with bitterness in your heart, Jesus is here. If you came with hostility, Jesus is here. You came to the right place, because this is the place where God is felt, God is seen, God is experienced. And it makes no difference whether you got money or not. Makes no difference whether you got bad hair or bad breath. Makes no difference whether you got long hair, short hair, green hair, or no hair. God is interested in you. Makes no difference the troubles of your past. Jesus is here now. And if you came seeking him, you can find him. And listen, this young man that we're reading about, he's a fan of Jesus. Like many of us here today, we're a fan of Jesus. We want our questions answered. We want our desires fulfilled. We want our problems solved, and we want our prayers heard. I'm a huge fan of Jesus. I praise Jesus and dance for Jesus like I do to Pittsburgh Steelers and the Penguins, like some of you do for the Dolphins. I know where the answers are. They're in Jesus. I can trust him. And I respect him. I'll even bow down before him and worship him. Yet far too many are a fan of Jesus and not a follower. I'll touch on that a little bit more later. Many are looking to make an acquaintance of Jesus and not a relationship. So here's your next slide. Far too many people want to visit Jesus. They don't want to live with Jesus. Jesus desires a relationship. He wants to set up home in your heart, not stop by for an occasional visit on a Sunday morning. What have you been searching for? The fulfillment that you long for is found in the relationship with Jesus Christ. The answers that you seek are found in that relationship. A relationship that brings change. Everything flows out of your relationship with Christ. Everything else flows out of your relationship with Christ. Transformation flows out of your relationship with Christ. Salvation flows out of the relationship that you have with Christ. True repentance brings transformation. And transformation within our own hearts makes us look different than the rest of the world. And it makes you look different than your past. I live for Him, not myself anymore. How about you? I live for His glory, not mine. How about you? I'm dead inside, yet I live. That'd be a great one, by the way, actually. Somebody say, how are you doing today? I'm dead inside. Just watch the reaction. Just watch the reaction. What? Yeah, I'm dead. Jesus living in me. What a great witness. Because you know somebody's going to ask you, how are you doing? I'm dead inside. You're dead inside. Yeah, I'm dead. Jesus living in me. See, living with you? Or did you just pop by for a visit? Jesus tells the guy the answers to his questions too. Knowledge or wisdom. There's your next one. Knowledge or wisdom. This rich man came looking. He was a fan. He was looking for something simple. He was looking for his reassurance. He's looking for the ABC. Do this, do this, do this. Right? Simple. Follow the formula. A, B, C. I've dotted the I's and I've crossed the T's. I've been doing this since I was a boy. Certainly I get eternal life. How excited he must have been. As he fell before Jesus and Jesus says, well, you know the commandments, don't you? Of course, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not forgive false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, teacher, I've kept all those since I was a boy. How good he must have been feeling about himself and what he had done and the things that he was accomplishing. Certainly God was blessing him and all over his life. He was waiting to hear, good boy. Way to go. Atta boy. What a good little boy you are. You're doing such all the right things. Yes, you are. And Jesus had already made the point, nobody's good. Before he even utters, nobody's good. You've heard the commandments, do this, 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 this. Yeah, you've been doing all that. Way to go, attaboy, you lack one thing. He came seeking knowledge, he got wisdom. He came seeking answers, he got wisdom. He came seeking reassurance, he got wisdom. Do you recognize how God works in your life? Would this man recognize even how God is at work in his life? Maybe you've heard this before. I asked for strength. God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom. God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity. God gave me the ability and brains to go to work. I asked for courage. God gave me dangers to overcome. Do you recognize how God works in your life? I ask for patience. We all know this one, and God puts you in circumstances and situations that require you to have patience. I asked God for love, and God gave me troubled people in my path so that I might love them. Wow! Do you know how hard it is to love the unlovable? Just ask Jesus how hard it is to love you when you're unlovable. I asked God for favors. You know what he gave me? Opportunities. I asked for everything so I could enjoy life. God gave me life that I might enjoy everything. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. See, a follower of Christ desperately seeks God's ways so that he might implement them into his life. I'm not trying to avoid God's ways. I'm trying to implement God's ways in my life. What are you doing? Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Didn't we emphasize that a little bit last week? Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. You need to do what it says to do. These are the followers of the creed of Christ. To have knowledge of the word and put it into practice. To recognize how God is at work in our lives and how he works in our lives. We keep praying for God to remove things. God's the one who put it there. No wonder you're not getting relief. He wants you to cope and deal and overcome that you might gain strength, endurance, patience, and kindness and learn how to love the unlovable like he did when you were his enemy and far from him. The Lord will reveal things to you about you and who you are and how you relate to him and others. The idea is to put it into practice. See, here's your next slide. I talked to you about fans. Fans show up on game day. Players show up for practice. Are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower? How do you say the last name of the Dolphins quarterback? Tua Tagovailoa. That's a tongue twister, right? Excellent. He's a follower of Christ. He gave a great testimony in front of all the media about a humiliating loss, about how his strength and courage always comes from Jesus Christ, and it's just a game. It was the same testimony that he gave when he beat down the Broncos by so many points, and then the next week gets humiliated. It's just a game. My strength is in Jesus Christ. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. God needs folks that are going to practice what they preach. Practice what they believe. Practice what they know to be true. Not just cheering from the sidelines, but getting in the game. Doing what God is asking of you to do. Just as faith without deeds is worthless. We get James's point. So too is knowledge that does not produce wisdom. Wisdom is that walking the talk, right? Walking what you're talking about. I don't know why that's doing that. Wisdom is gain in the valleys of life. It's the long enduring practice and suffering. Wisdom is gain in the muck, in the mire, in the dirt, and in the conflict. This rich young man, he had no problems trusting Jesus when he had everything. When he had everything. When he had title and prestige. When he had wealth. But would he follow Jesus if he had nothing? He couldn't imagine his life without his wealth. He couldn't imagine his life without his prestige. He couldn't imagine his life without all the stuff. His security was in dollars, not in Jesus. His future was in his fame and his title, not in Christ. He had everything you could want in this life and nothing for eternal life. What good is it that a man gain the whole world but lose his soul? We can all love Jesus. We can all be a fan of Jesus until he tells us what we lack. Until he moves into your heart and begins to live with you. Then, oftentimes, we don't want to hear what he's got to say. We will, like this young man, walk away. Yet, my brothers and sisters, if you accept my words, store up your commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. He is the guard for the course of the just, and he protects the ways of his faithful ones. Are you a faithful one, or are you just a fan? Are you a faithful follower, or you just show up on weekends? He wants a relationship with us, one that requires no other gods before him. This guy had a money god. Show me the money, baby! He had the love of money. What god are you worshiping that Jesus might ask you to lay down? Let it go. It might look like, I don't know, a boat. It might look like a cell phone. It might look like alcohol. It might look like selfish ambition. I've known I've had to put a lot of things down in my efforts to follow Jesus Christ along the way. And over the course of the next couple weeks, by the way, I'm going to put my cell phone down. I'm just going to fast my cell phone. Why? Because I think it has too much power over me. Because I wake up every day and I have my coffee and I look at my cell phone. And yes, I'll go to the scriptures and I'll read the passages and I'll use it as a Bible and I'll use it as a devotional, but I still think it has too much control over me. Because oftentimes I find myself surfing through Facebook, going, what am I doing over here? Wasn't I just reading something in the scriptures? How quick it is to just go from boom, boom, bang, 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 bang. Whoa. I need to increase my focus. And one of the ways I can increase my focus is, what am I already focused on that's not of God? And put it away. So if you can't reach me for the next couple weeks by text or cell phone or email or something, just know I'm trying to practice a little bit of spiritual discipline in my own life. Just throwing it out there. Because I've learned along the way, I've had to drop a lot of things. I earned my CFP as a designation in one of my titles. I had to learn to let it go. I worked hard for that. I studied nights and days and worked hard. Had to pass boards and days worth of exams to let it go. Let it go. I used to organize all the music and play the music and sing all the songs and lead all the worship. And I had to step aside, let it go, that others might rise up. I worked hard, saved hard, so that I might have a little McMansion, my own little paradise, set on a cul-de-sac, on a golf course. It's everything I ever dreamed and wanted. Let it go. Do you serve me or do you serve a house? You serve me or you serve titles? Watch how God is working in your life. He'll speak to you very clearly if you allow him to speak to you. But you'll have to get over yourself. You'll have to get over yourself. How are you doing? I'm dead inside. Not I that live, but Christ. The wise are not shocked by what the Lord asks of them. They're actually challenged by it. They are better because of it. Once again, we find ourselves right back to what it really means to follow Jesus within the scriptures. Not just Jesus as some fabrication of our own minds. What we would like him to be. What we think he's like. You need to know what he's like. Or the Jesus that we are all somehow become comfortable with. Jesus is a great place to visit. Church is a great place to visit. But do you want to live there? Do you want to live in that righteousness? Do you want to live in that holiness? Do you want to continue to have Jesus with you everywhere you go? See, there's a subtle difference between being a follower and a player and being a fan. The rich man failed to recognize Jesus as who he really is. God himself. God himself. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. The rich guy saw a good teacher. What do you see? The rich guy saw a rabbi. What do you see? He had great respect for him. He'd even ask him questions. But he didn't recognize him as God. Jesus in no way has ever intended that he would be one voice among many to offer counsel. Do you need me to repeat that? Jesus in no way has ever intended that he would be one voice among many to offer counsel. Jesus always intended that he would be the voice, the only voice, the only command. Who are you listening to? Do you recognize what Jesus says to you and how he speaks to you and how God moves in your life? It may not always be very comfortable, and you may not always like the answers that he gives you. But I can promise you this. I promise you this. He's watching out for you. He's watching out for you. Goodness is in his heart. He cares for you. He's guiding you, teaching you. He's leading you. And so here's your next one. Are you apathetic or are you dedicated? Are you apathetic or are you dedicated? Is there a willingness to change on your part? This young man changed nothing. And he went away sad. He had an encounter with the Almighty God. He exchanged words with Jesus Christ, bowed at his feet, asked him the question, how might I inherit eternal life? And he gave him an answer, and he didn't want anything to do with it. He changed nothing in his life. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack. What one thing do you lack? Maybe several. For this young man, wealth, power, prestige, title, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasures in heaven. Come follow me. And come follow me. Come follow me. Get your heart right. Come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. You can see the downcast in his face. Why? Because he had great wealth and he wasn't giving it up. He didn't want to do what was required to inherit eternal life. Even in the pursuit of an answer, he got an answer. But he didn't want to hear it. He didn't like it. He didn't like how God spoke to him about the thing that he needed to change in his life. I don't always like the things that God's telling me about the things I need to change in my life. But are you a fan or are you a follower? He wanted things to stay the way they were. We all just want to hear, good boy, attaboy, you're doing great, all fine, you're going to get it, it's all good. And yet, how many times have we walked away? What's different about you since you've come to Christ? There's nothing different about this rich young ruler. What's different? What's different since your last marriage failed? What's different since your kids ran away? What's different since last week's sermon? What's different since your last argument and your last disagreement? Do you think the enemy's just at work in you, or do you believe that God is actually might be doing something in your life? What's different about you since you retired? What's different about you since you got a new job? What's different about you since you started coming to church? You had an encounter with Jesus Christ. How are you any different? Or, I love how Kelly said it. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. You had an experience, an encounter with Jesus Christ. How are you different? Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. The rich young ruler just wanted assurance that he was going to heaven and that he was okay. He was not okay. Some of us are not okay. Some of you are going to walk out sad today. You realize that obedience to God is required. That doesn't sit well with you. Many of us don't want to forgive. I don't want to forgive my ex. There's no way. No way in hell I'm going to ever forgive them. Okay. God might say something else about that. You don't want to extend grace. You don't want to extend mercy. You don't want to extend love. Like the rich young ruler, you'll run the other way. Just like Jonah, you'll run the other way. You just go the other way, and nothing about you has changed. And you had an encounter with an almighty God who spoke directly to you about giving you an answer, and you won't do it. Some of you will walk away feeling sad today. Some of you will walk away inspired. Some of you will walk away saying, I'm ready for practice, baby. I can't wait for somebody to ask me how you're doing. You cannot stay the way that you are and believe that you've come into the presence of an almighty God. The rich young ruler came to Jesus excited. He went away sad. How are you coming today and how are you going to go away? He wouldn't do what Jesus was asking of him to do. Can you do what Jesus is asking of you to do? I know this about our Christ. It's about a complete discipleship. It's about complete salvation. It's about complete redemption. Not an empty emotional appeal. Not an intellectual debate about, hey, are you saved? I'm not saved. I don't know. What do you think about the millennium? What do you think about what's going on in the world? Jesus is interested in a complete disciple that will spread his good word. And if necessary, use words. Jesus is interested in followers. He's got enough fans. Here's your next slide. See, Jesus doesn't want your consideration. He wants your conversion. There's a lot of people that like to sit around and talk about Jesus all day long, but they don't want to follow Jesus. Which one are you? Far too many Christians, their life is it's a life of apathy. They're kind of bored. They really don't care much anymore. They're disillusioned with people. They're disillusioned with church. They're disillusioned with the government. They've just aged in such a way as that they've just gotten bitter and ugly. They're polluted by their own judgments. They're polluted by their own standards. They're polluted by their own judgments of other people's behavior. Well, we seem committed. We even sound committed because, you know, we're good. Are you? We'll even take communion. I've been doing that since I was a child. I've been doing all those things. We all look pretty good. Some of us even sound pretty good. We all seem nice, dress nice, have moral convictions. We all vote for the right candidate. But we don't believe that God could ever ask us to do something so radical as to love your enemy. We just don't believe God would ask us to do something so radical as to give up your little McMansion and follow me. We just don't believe it. Lay down your cross. Take up your cross. Lay down your burdens. Does he mean it when he says that? You're going to have to take up your cross. Does he mean it? Will you have to? And are you willing? Trust me, not your money. Trust me, not your government. Are you willing to focus upon the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this earth? And what has boggled my mind all the years I've been in ministry is people really are apathetic. They're apathetic. They don't care. They really don't care. And these are people in the church. They know what Jesus says, but they're unresponsive. They know what Jesus says, but they're passive. They know what Jesus says, but they're very lackadaisical. I'll get to it some other time. And this is what boggles my mind. Jesus lets them go. He let the rich young man walk away. He let the young man make a choice. Choose. There's one thing you lack. There's something you need to do to get right with God. Follow me. Choose me. Let that go. Let it go. Put it down. Sell it. Get rid of it. You're thinking way too much more about that stuff than you are me. Choose me. Choose me. He lets them choose. Come to church or stay home. He lets them choose. Come to church or let your kids decide whether you come to church or not. You choose. Come to church or go out for breakfast. You choose. Come to church or live in fear. Come, follow me or avoid people. Work on forgiveness and compassion and grace and mercy and love. Or just stay the way you are and walk away. He lets them walk away. It breaks my heart. And I know it breaks his too. I found this in Jesus too. There is no begging from Jesus. Hey, come back. Come back. Come back. We can negotiate. He doesn't call him back. Are you apathetic or are you dedicated? I know Jesus begs and pleads to his Father on their behalf. I know he begs and pleads the Father on your behalf. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They know not how they hurt your creation. They know not how they hurt brothers and sisters. They know not how they walk away. Father, I know Jesus pleads as an advocate to the Father on your behalf. But I don't see him begging the creation to come back. You choose. You choose. And I know today, for me in my life, if there's any begging going on, it's me who's begging. It's me who's begging. It's me who's pleading with the Lord. Please help me. Please guide me. Please show me some things in my life that are just taking over and taking you out. Hey, this cell phone comes to mind. It controls me. No, no, no. I need to put it down. I will lay it down, Father. I am not alive, but you and me. Please don't let me go. Please don't shun me. Please don't turn me away. Please don't let me walk away. May I stay in your presence. Show me what I lack. I cannot do this without you. Jesus would say, you're quite right. With man, this is impossible. You can't do it. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Amen. Jesus is God. All things are possible through your faith in Jesus Christ. All things are palatable and possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, all that, for me to get to a point for me in my life, and maybe here in the congregation today, a point that just kind of says, turn off cell phones. A point that just kind of says, Father, we've heard plenty of times. I've heard plenty of times. I've even preached it right now. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They know not how they hurt me. Father, forgive them. They know not how they walk away from you. But here, today, the revelation needs to be in our own hearts and our own minds that says, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. How many times have I walked away? You told me clearly what I needed to do, and I walked away. Father, forgive me. How many times has the Father shown you something that you know this is not, and you did it anyway? You walked away. And some of us willingly, eagerly
run towards lust. Some of us willingly and eagerly run towards greed. We eagerly run towards political influence and power. Many of us need to be right here where we are right now and just say, forgive me, Father. Forgive me. Forgive me in my anger when you wanted me to be kind. Forgive me in my impatience when you wanted me to be patient. Forgive me in those times when I have fallen short and not lived up to what you would have asked of me to do. So let's just take a moment right here. Bow our heads, bow our hearts, and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. When God will minister into your heart and he'll tell you what you need. He'll tell you what you lack. He'll tell you where you're strong. He'll tell you where you're weak. These are the moments. For Jesus paid it all that you might begin anew. For it is not you that lives, but him in you.